My name is Evangeline. People call me Evan. I'm from Glory Presbyterian Church, and I bring you greetings from our leadership there. As we go to God's Word today, and our sermon title is, Who is Jesus to Tell Me What to Do? We should actually hear from God's Word first. Shall we? I'm going to read for you from Mark chapter 1, verse 21 all the way to verse 28. And he went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding regions of Galilee. This is the word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, I ask you to keep it open to that passage, or perhaps your Bible apps as well. And if the Lord is speaking to you in any kind of way, I ask you to write it down so that we not only be hearers of God's word, but rememberers of God's word and doers of it. Come, let's pray together. Our God, as we come to hear your word, may your spirit speak to us. Point out any evil way in us and lead us in paths that are eternal. Help us to hear your word, remember your word, and do your word today as you speak to us, the God who loves us and the God who gave your son for us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just heard that your church had a youth camp recently. And I'm actually the youth and young adult pastor at Glory. And I really love youth camps. You may be wondering, which part of youth camp do I like? Do I like the games? Not really. I'm tired. Do I like the food? Usually youth camp food is not the best. What I like is the 1 a.m. conversations. Conversations at night where the youth tell you what is on your heart. You can tell them what is on your heart. Nobody remembers it the next day. But this youth camp, there was a 1 a.m. conversation that I remember deeply. This young man gave me permission to share this, by the way. He came to me at 1 a.m. complaining about his leader. He's one of the more experienced youth leaders, but this year he had a leader over him that made a decision that he did not agree with. His complaint was that this young man, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I've been doing this for 3 years. So young man calling young man, right? So as he talked, as he complained, I was wondering, and the Lord spoke to me, and I turned to him and said, Dear one, you have an authority issue. You're not happy with what your leader has decided, and you came to me as his authority to tell him what to do. He's making a bad decision, but he's still your leader. What this young man had was an issue with authority. The Oxford Dictionary tells us that authority is the power to make decisions, the power to give others orders and tell them what to do. Perhaps you may be authority over things, but sometimes people in authority may not know what they are talking about, but they still have the right and still have the power to decide and to make decisions for you. So what this young man had was an authority issue. Why am I talking about this? Because our passage today, if you look at verse 22 and verse 27, it talks about Jesus and his authority. A lot of life is about authority issues. a toddler who doesn't want to eat her food that day is actually rejecting mom's authority over her. She is literally saying, who are you to tell me what to do? The child who doesn't want to do his homework is fighting against the authority of the teacher or the tutor. Who are you to tell me what to do? The teen who refuses to put her phone away after father nags at dinner is rejecting the authority of her parents. Who are you to tell me what to do? I can keep going on. The soldier who grumbles at his sergeant, the young adult who submits her resignation letter to her boss, even the senior who refuses to eat his medication is also questioning the authority of his doctor. If you think about it, a lot of our lives are authority issues. And even down to Genesis 3, Eve, while she was deceived by the serpent, was having an authority issue with God. Who is God to tell me what to do? So today in our passage, we see the word authority used twice in verse 22 and 27. Who is this Jesus who gets to tell us what to do? And what kind of authority does he have? Let us look back to verse 21 and 22 again. And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he had taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Mind you, we are only in chapter 1 of Mark. There's only 20 verses ahead of where we start today. We only heard of Jesus' baptism, we hear of his temptation, he preaches a little bit, and then he chooses his disciples in verse 16 to 20. So this is actually the first instance that Mark talks about Jesus' ministry. It was just another Sabbath morning. It was just us people who lived in Capernaum gathering to worship God, listening to his word. But there was something special, that there was a visiting preacher and his disciples. So the pastor of the day, the scribe or the teacher of the law, just step aside so that the new preacher can preach. Yet, for Jesus, we actually don't know what he says. Like verse 21, verse 22 doesn't tell us what is the content of that sermon. But we get an idea in verse 15, if you look with me, that he was preaching about the kingdom of God. He had come near and they were to repent and believe the good news. But no matter what the details of the sermon was, we are told by Mark that Jesus was the one who preached, and he had authority, and the authority was not like their normal teacher. For the teachers of the law, they were just explaining the law of Moses to the people. But the person that was standing in front of the people in Capernaum preaching was actually the lawgiver, the God who gave the law itself. Of course, the people sitting there didn't know. He was just some random person who came by. But we who know this 2,000 years later, we have insight into who this person who had authority was. We had this reading earlier today from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Written a long time ago, it talks about... let me read it for you. The Lord, your God, will raise up for you a prophet like me, Moses, from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. In verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my word in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. We know that Peter, in the book of Acts, chapter 3, later quotes this passage. And he's talking specifically about Jesus as this prophet, the prophet that God will call to speak his word, and God who is to be obeyed. So here, Jesus is presented to us as one in authority to speak and to tell us what to do. But the question is, do the people of God in Capernaum, do the people of God here in this room, put ourselves under the authority of Jesus and his word? I just came out of youth camp, so all my analogies are from youth camp. After camp, one of the youths actually came up to me. He wanted to talk to me about a conversation we had in the middle of the night. This was a 2 a.m. conversation, by the way. He told me, I was giving him feedback because he was the one who was doing our videos for the day. He had edited the whole night, and then at 2 a.m. I told him, this video not very nice. He said I was very harsh, and his heart was broken that night. I wanted to tell him, I tell you it's not nice because it's for your own good, so you can edit it and then people can see good stuff. I wanted to defend myself and say that I was tired at 2 a.m. I want to just justify what he was saying. But at that point of time, I had enough sleep after youth camp, and I sat for a while, and I was prompted to not reply at that point of time. But I know that he was pointing this out to challenge the authority of the word of Jesus in my life. For we know that two major commandments of Jesus, one was to love God, one is to love others. And in this instance, at 2 a.m. in the morning, I was not very loving to this young man who worked very hard for the community. Well, I have permission to share this, by the way. But during the week, the Lord convicted me, and I was listening on Spotify this song. It's by Gregory Wilber. He paraphrases 1 Corinthians 13. It's called If I Speak. It says, if I speak in tongues of fire, yet fail to do what love requires, I am nothing. Though high mountains move, I am nothing without perfect love. I am nothing if I try to hide resentment, envy, selfish pride. I am nothing though high mysteries find, if I'm not patient, humble, and kind, even at 2 a.m. in the morning. I know the Lord was speaking to me, and usually it takes 3 times to get Yvonne to listen, and the 3rd time, one of the young adults walked by me, and she shoved the book in my hand. She's like, I read this, it's really good. It was a book about listening and answering lovingly. So by that time, I said, okay, as I prepare the sermon for you, I prepare the sermon for myself. Is Yvonne a person under the authority of Jesus and his word as well? There is this story about Mahatma Gandhi. If you know the independence activist, he studied in London. And after learning about Christianity, after reading the Sermon on the Mount, he decided that Christianity was quite complete and he wanted to know more about it. So later, as he moved home in East India, he lived with a Christian family. But there, he changed his mind about this Jesus. In that household, he discovered that God's word really became flesh. The word of Jesus perhaps could be heard every week, but very rarely lived out. That even those who identify themselves as Christian may not put themselves under the authority of Jesus and the word of Jesus. Even the Sermon on the Mount is not lived out. So this Chinese New Year, for those who are celebrating New Year, you have friends and family over. I don't know if what will your visitors say about your life. Would he or she see that your lives are under the authority of Jesus Christ and his teachings? Or would he see otherwise? For those who are church leaders, those who are CG leaders or parents, are we also modeling a kind of authority under God for those that we lead? Do we put ourselves under the authority of Jesus' word and his commands? So as we ponder this, and as the people in Capernaum pondered the authority of Jesus and his word, we see something happen in verse 23. Verse 23, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. When Jesus was teaching, a man possessed with the unclean spirit came and confronted him, interrupting his speech, interrupting the gathering. And this unclean spirit clearly know who Jesus was. He says, I know who you are. He knows the power and authority that Jesus had. He says three things about Jesus. Firstly, his name, Jesus, that he's from Nazareth. He knows where he came from, where his mom and dad live, that he has the power to destroy. And he is the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God, people are split between whether it's a Messiah reference, that the one that's chosen by God to save, or perhaps a divine idea that he is God. But whatever that meaning is, we see here a fight for authority. The unclean spirit picking a fight with Jesus. Even though this evil spirit can identify Jesus, he can tell of his power, of his divine nature, we know that he's not actually acknowledging that authority over its life. Perhaps it's more like when my mother calls me by name. Usually, if she uses my full name, she wants me to do something for her. He shouts it from across the room, Evangeline Cheong, you come and wash the dishes for me. It's a kind of putting herself in a place of authority to tell me what to do. And perhaps this is what the evil spirit was doing, using its knowledge of Jesus and his position to press Jesus to perhaps get angry and tell him to go away, to reveal his plan, or perhaps to back off from what he was really going to do. Basically, what he was telling Jesus is, who are you, Jesus, to tell me what to do? Who are you, Jesus, to destroy us? But this attack on Jesus by the evil spirit does not work. Jesus simply tells it to shut up and get out. And it's not without much struggle. We can see some words there that there's a violent shaking of the man, there are loud shrieks and there are screams. But the authority of Jesus overpowers the evil spirit. Merely knowing and acknowledging Jesus as a historical figure, or Jesus as someone in power, or perhaps Jesus as God, it doesn't help if you don't submit to that authority. That spirit was still an enemy of God. It was still disobedient, and it's still slated for destruction. Perhaps you know of somebody who likes to use his or her knowledge of God to attack Jesus. Use their knowledge to attack the authority and not obey it. I have a friend who kept telling me, I have read your Bible. I know all about this God. I just need this Jesus to explain himself in this and that and in this situation. But he was putting himself in a place of authority to judge who Jesus was and not let Jesus tell him who he was. But all those who, that person and that spirit is still an enemy of God and still slated for destruction. I feel bad for this friend. And whoever uses the word of God and knowledge of God to attack him. For there will be a time spoken in Isaiah 45, repeated in Philippians 2 and Romans 14, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This quote talks about every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Every knee will be forced to bow, whether willingly or unwillingly, at the authority of Jesus. So perhaps we have to pray for our friends who are using their knowledge of God in an unwise manner. As we come to the end of this passage, we see in verse 27 of the response of the crowd. Let me read this for you. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the evil spirits and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. We are told that the crowds were all amazed. They recognized that Jesus had authority. They recognized a new teaching with authority. But yet, surprisingly, we are told that by Mark that there was no action. All they did was talk about him. He spread his fame, he spread the news of his authority throughout the region. So at maybe the wells, they talked about it, at city squares, they talked about it. But there was no action other than talking. There was no leaving fishing boats or livelihoods to follow him, just in verse 16 and 20, where the disciples were called and they left immediately. There was no applying of those words to their lives. There was no going out to Jesus and asking him, can you clarify this? There was no action. It just made him famous. It did not make him followed. It did not make him obeyed. Perhaps our day as well. If you think about it, Jesus is quite famous in our day and age. Even 2024 is a reference to Jesus after AD. The best-selling book in the world talks about Jesus. If you go to any city, any country, there is a local name for Jesus. And he is famous. Perhaps in churches also, we talk about him every week. But do we actually do anything for him? A lot of those who identify as Christian may not know Jesus or his authority. Perhaps as we talk about this idea of authority, we always think of it as a bad thing. As a youth, when my youth leaders ask me to share Jesus to my friends, I always downplay this aspect of authority, just to entice them to know this loving Jesus. But we know that his authority is not the same as the one in the world. We think of authority in the world as a teacher with a cane, or employer with a whip, or a dictator with an iron fist. And then we see God as a God with a bunch of rules who just wants to smite someone with a lightning rod. But as we grew up, perhaps, with critical parents, abusive husbands, or unreasonable teachers, evil sergeants, we hurt under bad authority. There's a lot of pain and bad memories of people in authority who did evil things to us, or perhaps asked us to do evil things. But this is not who Jesus is. This is not the authority that Jesus had. For we know that in the three things that the evil spirit does inform us about this Jesus, is that his given name is Jesus, and it means that God saves. Just a month ago, it was just Christmas. We were reminded of the God who left heaven to be born in a stable, to live among us, and to show us his love by going to the cross for us. He is not an authority that doesn't care, that looks from afar and asks you to do something, but he came to be with us. And even to this day, he sends his Holy Spirit to be with his people. We know that he has the power to destroy. Yes, to destroy sin and death. He wants to save us for good things. But he also wants to heal the brokenness, and break the chains of evil on us, on his world, on his creation. He does have the power. And we're also told that he is the Holy One of God. We sang earlier about his holiness. And the chosen one in his holiness went to the cross to make his enemies holy so that we can come back to this God who loves us. So the authority that we have here in Jesus is not that of evil. It's a good authority. I have a really loving father, and he will buy me food that I like. He keeps asking me on Sunday, I'm coming home. And when he is authority in my life. Even when I was younger, he would tell me, Evan, you can't do this. You can't go this place. I'm not letting you go out with your friends at 2 a.m. in the morning. But because he is a loving father, I'm more inclined, I'm not always obedient, I'm more inclined to obey him and submit myself to his authority. Perhaps you have also a loving father, you have a kind husband, or you have a caring principal or teacher, even though they have authority in your life to tell you what to do, when to do it, But the submission is so much easier when we know that the person loves us and cares for us. So in the same way, this is the authority of Jesus, a loving, powerful, holy authority. So let us, as God's people, who take the heed of Jesus' warning in Luke chapter 6. For he was telling the Israelites, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" He has all authority in heaven and earth, not just to tell us what to do, but tell all creation what to do. All the animals, all the stars have to obey him. Why not? Why not us? So, dear brothers and sisters, let us, because we are loved by a loving God, because we call him Lord, even as we struggle and maybe reject his authority sometimes in our lives, seek through his Spirit to obey him. Let me close by telling you the end of the story, the 1 a.m. conversation with a young man who was not very happy with his leader. After we had a chat, it was a very short chat actually. I think the Spirit was working in his heart. He sat down with me and he said, "Maybe we should pray." He sighed very loudly before he prayed. So loudly I was like laughing. Because he knew that what God was calling him at that point of time was to submit to the authority of his leader, even when the decision was not very wise. He asked God to help him to submit. And the next morning I heard news actually that his leader also had a time with God that night and had actually gone with his suggestion after all. So that whole conversation and that whole struggle, was it a waste? I don't think so. It was just a lesson that Jesus could tell him what to do, for he is Lord. Perhaps today you are struggling with the authority of Jesus. In the last year, or maybe as you wrote your New Year's resolutions, he is telling you to do something. Maybe he asked you to go and speak to the person that is angry with you. Maybe he asked you to go and share the gospel with someone. Or perhaps leave your job and go full time. Whatever he's telling you, I have an elder who I've been bugging to join full-time ministry. He says, "Yes, the Lord has called me." Then I told him, every minute that you do not obey is disobedience. So whatever the Lord is telling you to do, please do it this year. Perhaps the Lord is also telling you to stop doing something. There's some sin that has a hole in your life. There's a relationship that you step away from. Is there something that he's asking you to stop doing? Perhaps there's a sin to repent of. And for mine is to speak nicely to young people at any time of the day. So if you are struggling with the authority of Jesus, or struggling with the authority of the authorities, struggling with the authorities that Jesus has put in your life, maybe let us all pray together and ask him to help us. Come, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you and ask you to forgive us the times where we really don't want Jesus to tell us what to do. Lord, we want to praise you that as we are weak and disobedient, enemies of yours, you sent your Son to die for us while we were still sinners. That through your Spirit alone, we are able to understand your love and given new hearts of obedience to you. So this week, O Lord, we ask for ears to hear your word, and hearts that are renewed, wills to obey you in all things. Help us who are in positions of authority at home, in school, in the army, at work, in church, in the state, to recognize your loving authority over us, to be humble and obedient to you in our given responsibilities, so that the world can see that Jesus is the Lord, high and lifted up, and that every knee will bow in heaven and earth to you, for you are a God who loves us with so much love and will continue to love us till we see you again. So we give you praise, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.